1920 on our virtual journey brings us to the final church of Loughlin Union, Grange Silvae, Church of the Lovely Name in Gore's Bridge. It's a church which proves a number of things as we think of those who worship there. It has an elegant simplicity, and yet it is one of the finest individual funereal war memorials in the diocese, the monument to Colonel Gore and to his achievements in the Napoleonic Wars. It also is a church that was closed for quite a number of years, half a century ago, because of being in a very dilapidated state. And I suppose it's a kind of example of how the phoenix can rise from the ashes, and one should never despair. And where there is vision, there is always hope. And so it came back to life. We are in Grange Silvae, reaching that interesting point in our historical journey where we are 100 years back in 1920, remembering events that would have been so much part of the decade of centenaries in the public sense this particular year. But so much of this, and there were sensitive things too, was muted by COVID and by the inability to have major public commemorations. In many ways, it was a dreadful year in terms of lawlessness and violence. Across the water in Wales, our friends of the church in Wales were experiencing disestablishment and in many ways going through the same experience as we did, and so much of the structures of their church and their financial arrangements imitated ours. But back in Ireland, it was a year characterised by the excesses of the Black and Tans. Bloody Sunday in Dublin with its assassinations and the opening fire that took place upon the crowd at Croke Park, the execution of Kevin Barry, the burning of Cork. And it was a year that was going to require a great deal of sensitive commemoration, particularly focused on Cork, but everything had to be so much scaled down. As I say, in this particular year, when so much might have been remembered in public, I thought I'll just mention something that was very much part of the political circumstances and the struggle, but mightn't have been talked about so much. It was the fact that the railways played an interesting part and revealed certain facts about the guerrilla war. In the month of May of 1920, there was a spontaneous munitions strike which began in Dublin and quickly spread across the country. The railway workers refused to handle government traffic to move munitions or troops. And this, of course, hampered the government hugely in dealing with the guerrilla war around the country. And perhaps the railway men were acting out of self-interest as well as it were, political principle by seeking to avoid IRA attacks on their trains and all the dangers that that posed for them. But at the end of the year, the railway men had to give in when the British government threatened to close down the railways completely and deprive them of their livelihood. But it just shows how, even indirectly, so many ordinary working people were getting caught up in and aligning themselves with the independence struggle. And there was a doggedness and a resourcefulness behind it all. And even the mighty British Empire's forces conceded it would soon have to negotiate. But just imagine living through all of those events, particularly in our major cities 100 years ago. And of course, many of us in our own lifetimes have met people who were there then and had much to tell of it.